verse 21 through 26. And we're continuing our series, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, a theology of life and death. And I had already made up my mind when I was younger. I might have thrown out statistics about this and that and many other things I might have tried to cover to inform you, but I come to understand over the years that people really aren't that interested in most of the information that bounces around in my head. What people really want to know is, what does God say about what I'm going through? And give me a word that I can hang on to, a handle that I can wrap my hands around, and so that I can hang on while this storm rages, that I won't become a casualty of a storm that is coming around. And so I want to read to you and continue this Bible study series today, number 3. And the title of it is When Death Makes More Sense Than Life. Philippians chapter 1, 21 through 26 in the King James. It says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And yet what I shall choose I want not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Everybody say, far better.
Far better.
"Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, not so much better, is needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. In the New Living Translation, I'll read that same portion of Scripture. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For to me living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what He is doing through me." Let's bow our heads again and ask the Lord to open our hearts with His Word today. Lord, we know that each and every one of us are battling and struggling with many different situations and things across the lifespan. All of us in different places today, going through different things. But your Word and your Spirit and your sacrifice at Calvary is ever sufficient for any and all of our needs, and even beyond that abundant supply. And we just open our hearts to receive your Word right now. Let us speak, let us hear, and let us do according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When death makes more sense than life. Have you ever thought about dying? Do you ever wish God would simply kill you? Do you sometimes feel so tired of this life that you wish God would end your life? Or that perhaps you wish you were never born? If you have had these or are having these sort of feelings, then you aren't by yourself. Many people in the world go through periods where they crave death. This life can be so difficult. Losing a loved one, or experiencing career trouble or financial loss, relationship problems and health issues, and so many more things can make you feel as if you want to die. Life can sometimes seem as if it has nothing more to offer us, and that our only hope of peace is to take our exit of this corrupt world. I want to tell you today, some of you, it may surprise you to learn that some of the biggest, greatest men in the Bible also had moments in their life where they wished death upon themselves. After Moses risked his life to free the Israelites from Egypt, they all began grumbling and whining. If there's anything, they say that my personality, the Bible character that I'm most like is Moses. And if there's ever a thing I can understand about Moses, is how annoying and irritating it is when people grumble and whine and complain. If there's anything that would make me want to kill myself, I think that that would be the thing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This bothered Moses so badly that he said to God in Numbers chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, "Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you intend to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me this misery." In the book of Job, we see that after Job was stripped of his health and his family and his wealth, he laments and he curses the day that he was born. Why? In Job chapter 3 and verse 11, just the beginning of his dissertations and his longings and cravings for death. "Why died I not from the womb? And why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly?" And the wonderful and powerful prophet Elijah, the only to call down fire from it. After embarking on a mission from God, he finds himself so depressed that he utters, "Now Abraham told Israel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.' And Elisha was so afraid that he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came to a broom brush. And he sat down under it. And he had this prayer, 'God, let me die. I have had enough,' he said in 1 Kings chapter 19. 'I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.' And even Jonah, after being swallowed by a great fish for 3 days and preaching to the city of Nineveh, he became so frustrated that the city repented and that God was forgiving them and was able to avoid God's wrath that he wished he could die. It says in Jonah chapter 5, verses 5, excuse me, chapter 4, verses 5 through 11, that Jonah had gone out and sat down in a place east of the city. And there he made himself a shelter and sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. Oh my God, help us, church. Sometimes we're happy about the dumbest, silliest things. And God is working miracles and amazing deliverance and salvation is transpiring around us. But the reality of it is sometimes we just don't see any of that good stuff God is doing. And we just see the little piddly things. And sometimes we just get so down and disgusted and discouraged and angry. We wish that God would just kill us and get it over with. But at dawn, he goes on and says the next day that God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. And when the sun arose, God provided a scorching east wind. Oh, don't you love the provision of the Lord? Hallelujah. Sometimes God provides things that I think I could do without. Can I get an amen from somebody? Oh, that's our God. And the wind, the scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, and he said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord outset began, you have been concerned about this plant. And though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also even many more animals? Let's just face it, church. Sometimes in this world, and even more so as Christians, as believers, Brother Philip talking about, I want to go, I want to reach the souls. Sometimes God calls us to tasks that aren't always easy to fulfill. Sometimes God calls us into spiritual battles that we can even despair of our lives. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 in the New Living Translation, when we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. Oh, come on, does anybody understand where the Apostle Paul was coming from? He said, in fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. Sometimes God calls us to hard trials and difficult times. Sometimes it just feels like death makes more sense than life. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 19, verse 15 and 16 in the New Living Translation, but the Lord said in the prophecy to Ananias, he said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, church, sometimes God calls us to suffer for his name's sake. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 30 in the New Living Translation, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know, he said, I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder and been put into prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And then besides all of this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray that I do not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. Oh, let me tell you, church, just reading these Bible verses alone, it's easy for us to see that even the greatest prophets in the Bible had moments of despair. They all had moments when they threw up their hands and said, God, please kill me. Take my life and let me die now. I'm done with this pitiful life and this corrupt world. I have no reason to live. I don't know about you, but I think it is a natural human response that when life is overwhelming, we want to give up. We want to press the exit button and simply shut everything down and terminate our lives. And when we turn on the news and we see children molested and women raped, people murdered and chopped into pieces, alleged criminals avoiding jail, and haters of God, immoral acts, and more and on and on. This world can look pretty hopeless.
reckless and disgusting. The Bible says that that Lot, that righteous man who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, vexed his spirit every single day with the sins of the people. Oh, sometimes it just makes more sense to go on and give up this world and go on to our reward than to stay here. But we are all here for a purpose. And all things will eventually play into God's sovereign plan. Hey, just as God has purposed the men above, He has also purposed us in this life. I'm here to tell you there is a purpose and there is a plan. And we've got to have our minds made up that whatever God calls us into, that He's going to be able to pull us out of. That whatever He calls us to go through, and whatever burdens He calls us to carry, that He will give us the strength to carry them. But we must make up our mind once our hands are on that plan. No matter how many times we feel that sciatic nerve going out in our back, we've got to make up our minds that we're never going to take our hands off of that plow and look back. We've got to have a made up mind, hallelujah, that after, even after having plowed all day, when there's blisters on our hands and our calluses are bleeding, that we've got to have a mind made up that said, I'm never going to let go of this plow. I'm never going to look back. I've made up my mind. I'm here for a purpose and a reason. I'm breaking up this fallow ground. Hallelujah. I'm breaking up this fallow ground. I'm sowing seeds of righteousness. I'm planting the gospel seed in the hard hearts of men and women in this world. In the evening. And we know the story. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. But what happened to them on their way to go where Jesus told them to go? They ran into a demonic storm that was stirred up by the devil. The Bible says the waves were contrary. The wind was contrary. And they were rowing with all of their might. And Jesus comes walking to them hours, 6 to 9 hours later. They are still in the lake. They're still trying to get where Jesus told them to go. And they are rowing hard, but they don't seem to be getting anywhere. I'm talking to a people today. If Jesus said, get in a boat and row out into the middle of a storm, you get in the middle of that boat, you get in the middle of that storm, you put your hand on that oar, and you row, and you row, and you row, and you row. Hallelujah. I serve a Jesus that will not leave us out there to drown. He will not leave us out there to just hang. But He will come walking on the water, and He will bring an end to the storm when His time is fulfilled and when His plan is complete and when our mission is accomplished. Oh, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. I'm here to tell you today there is a difference in the Bible between taking your own life and giving your life for the benefit of others. Oh, these ringleaders all found themselves on the brink of death, but none of them short-circuited God's calling and process in their life. They stayed put, and they pressed their way with the help, and they pressed their way through with the help of God. In our scripture text that we're reading today, the Apostle Paul finds himself once again in jail. The letters to the Philippians that he is writing are a part of what is known as Paul's prison of letters or epistles. God slowed the Apostle Paul from preaching and working miracles and starting churches and training long enough to throw him in a prison somewhere. Aren't you thankful today that the Apostle Paul was thrown into jail a couple times? Aren't you thankful that God threw the Apostle Paul in jail and left him there for a while? Hallelujah. I'm talking about a man of God that while he was in jail, he didn't know if there would be another earthquake to deliver him and set him free. He didn't know if there would be, like Peter, an angel come in the midnight hour and let him loose and set him free. He didn't know if somebody was going to come and bail him out. Or he didn't know if his head was going to be severed from his shoulders like John the Baptist. Oh, he didn't know if there was going to come another severe beating the next day. But while he sat in that prison cell, he got his pen and he got a hold of some paper and he began to write some letters. He said, my mission isn't finished. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not giving up. While I'm sitting in this prison cell, I'm going to take some time to write some things down. You can't throw in the towel. You can't give up. You can't turn your back until God gets ready to be through with you.
Romans chapter 14, verses 7, 8, and 9 in the New Living Translation. He said, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And he says, Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be both the Lord of the living and the dead. The Apostle Paul understood that he was already dead in the flesh. He was already dead in Christ. But he was risen and alive in the spiritual, born again of water and the Spirit. And he went on and said, I die every day putting my flesh under subjection. He understood that he was called, and that he understood there would be times and difficulties would arise.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But he also understood that if he was obedient, was diligent, persistent, and faithful to his calling and to his mission, that if he was totally reliant on God,
yes, hallelujah,
to help him to do the things that God called him to do, that he would bring him through and that he would see the victory that lies on the other side.
Yes, so, Jesus, yes.
Let's all stand together. Blessed, hallelujah. I preach the first half of my message. Now while you stand, I'm going to preach the other half. When death makes more sense than life, there are times when we just wish we could. But great men and great women of God have felt that exact feeling. Many of them enduring a great contradiction of sinners against themselves. The Bible in the book of Hebrews says we ought to look at them and take them for our example.
Right.
Who endured such a contradiction of sinners against themselves, lest we get weary and faint in our minds. I told you I was getting ready to preach the second half of the message. Consider Jesus. Sure, Moses had a moment where he wished death, but he marched on to fulfill God's plan for his life, and he is now considered one of the greatest Bible prophets of the Old Testament. I don't know if there's any other man in the Bible whose name is spoken more than his. Job, yes, he lost his health, his wealth, and his family, but he was blessed by God and eventually got double of everything he lost previously. Elijah may have had his moments of despair, but he eventually rises into the heavens in a whirlwind on a chariot of fire and is referenced again as one of the great prophets. And Jonah, despite wanting to die, after going through so much effort, was able to save a city of over 120,000 people with his preaching. Don't tell me how. Come on now. You don't think if God calls you to preach to one of the most wicked cities on the face of the earth in his day, and he a Jew, and of all the people that were hated, even still today, the Jews, came a man smelling and stench from being in the acid of the stomach of a giant whale, coming to those people and preaching the judgments of God, and God used him to save 120,000 of people, and the Lord said, including the many, many, many animals that were living there, all of those lives were spared because one man went in there and did what God called him to do.
Hallelujah.
Now also imagine that prophets were glad that God didn't listen to their prayer. They would have never seen what God could do through their feeble efforts. When you feel like you want to die, remember that great men and women of God have felt the same way you do. I can only imagine how John the Revelator, the beloved youngest of all of Jesus' disciples, the one who at the last meal that they were to eat before Christ's passion, that he sat there and laid his head on Jesus' chest and was so loving and kind of a young man after having spent decades of being persecuted. After having been incarcerated and tortured, and after having been, they say, a tradition says that he was put in a pot, a large pot of oil that was boiling. His body covered skin burns. Is there any more? Could there any more be any more possible torture than something of that nature? This man pressed on. And in his torment, and in his torture, and in his incarceration, and in his old age, he wrote the book of Revelation. I don't think we often understand and comprehend what these great men and women of God went through to do the will of God. Just think about it today. If they can do it, you can do it too. You may be sent out of Egypt as a murderer on the run like Moses and leading a nation to freedom years later. In everything that happens in our lives, never forget that God has a divine plan. He is sovereign over all, and we are partakers of His way and His desire. When things get down, when things get you down, look up to the risen Jesus Christ and know that God always keeps His promises. Now, like what the Apostle Paul said in another place, he said, all of the sufferings of this present life are not going to be worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us when the Lord our Savior Jesus returns to call us home. Let's all just bow our heads together and talk to the Lord right now. I know that sometimes death seems to make more sense than life. And I know that there are people all around us short-circuiting the process. We don't just kill a body, but we kill a dream. We don't just kill a body, but we kill relationships. We don't just get away from pain, as it were, but we lose the ability to see the outcomes of our trials. Let's make up our minds today. God, if you'll help me, I'll stick in here a little bit longer. Just another step. Just another minute. Just another day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're still breathing, everybody take a deep breath. Sometimes your ribs are sore and you can't breathe. How many of you ever had a broken rib before?
Yeah.
Try to take a deep breath in, right? Now everybody hold your breath as long as you can, right? Now you're asking, Pastor, why did you make us do that? if you're still breathing, God still has purpose for you. If you're still breathing air, God has a purpose yet unfulfilled in your life. God's not through with you, church. Say together. Now I want to invite you to, if you've been battling, you've been questioning, you've been doubting, I want to invite you to come and make a fresh determination. I'm going to make up my mind. I am going to hang on a little bit longer. As they sing this song, would you come and make a commitment? I'm going to hang on a little bit longer. God's not through.